Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor and senior citizens pastor here at Brookside, and we are thrilled to be able to have Paul and Britt McCure with us again. They've been telling us a story of a heartrending incident of their son falling into a pile of leaves that he thought were just leaves to jump and frolic in, and come to find out it was a burn pile, and became burned on both of his hands. We've gone through that story in the last couple of times, and Britt, you were just sharing with us how that during this time, you saw the church family at Brookside just begin to become a family.
Yes.
Tell us what God taught you during that time.
Well, I was just incredibly encouraged and blessed. I know Paul and I both just felt the prayers. We knew that God's people were praying for us, and that just encouraged our hearts incredibly. I had always heard people before that saying, oh, I can feel your prayers. And I never understood that. And I think sometimes it can be very cliche, but I know Paul and I really felt the prayers of the saints for us. But then also just people, strangers that I didn't know, coming to me and telling me they were praying for me. And
wow.
Yeah. Doing.
This is
praying
at church now.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep, this
okay.
was at now back at church after
yeah.
Jack was still healing. He still had his bandages, but yeah, back in church, there were ladies coming to me telling me they were praying for me. And even years later, I had a girl who's just a sweet teen asking me about Jack years later. And I was like, you remember that? Because she was very young then. She
sure.
would have been like 9, 10. And she's like, well, yeah, I prayed for you every day with my mom. And that just blew me away. That
Isn't
was like last
that
year
exciting.
That she said that. But the prayers of the saints, the ladies who came and brought meals who I didn't mm-hmm. even know, that just really blessed me and helped me understand now how to minister to others who are hurting.
Because prior to that time, you really didn't know yourself how to say or what
right.
to say.
Right. Yeah. Before Jack had his burns, when I would know of families who were suffering or going through a time of loss, I always, you know, just didn't know, like, do I say something to them? I don't want to bring this hurt back into their lives and into their minds if they're not thinking of it right now, or just, you know, very overly conscientious of what to do. And I just didn't know how to respond. And through what we went through with Jack and how the church just supported us and loved us, it has taught me how to love others and to be bold and to go to them and let them know we're in prayer for them, or to do something physical for them, as cooking them a meal.
Yes, yes.
Just helping, being Jesus to them as much as I can be, which is so short.
And I think we knew that there would be opportunities such like this, but others where we would have the opportunity to share this story and how the Lord truly healed a hand. Actually, the story about when Jesus healed the withered hand, say in Matthew 12, that particular passage has that much more lively truth to it for Jack as we go through that story. And certainly me, as I was going to work every day shortly after, being able to share what happened with people and then to see a confidence in the Lord. My world was not completely rocked where I wasn't able to function or anything like that. My child, obviously it was just his hands, you know, were burned. It's not like he almost necessarily died. But they could see my confidence and my contentment in the Lord. And while I didn't get a lot of questions from people, I pray that I was planting some seeds with people, because they know who I am and who I serve. And we knew that we'd have the opportunity to share with people.
And Britt, you told us last time that there was the fear of infection,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah,
that could have been fatal mm-hmm. if it got into his blood and that kind of a
yeah.
thing. And obviously fear of the unknown and fear mm-hmm. of the, well, what if is something that the devil loves to throw in our way, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. But God just showed both Paul and I his sovereignty. Before we experienced that, I used the term sovereignty, and I thought I understood it in my little Christianese sort of way, but I had no idea, and God just showed me his sovereignty so richly, his control of every facet. He's in control of everything that we go through, and I rested in that, and I praise the Lord that he revealed that to my heart, that his Spirit taught us that.
Mm-hmm.
And fear is something that definitely Job experienced.
Mm-hmm.
His expression after everything fell apart and after everything was stolen or burned up, he said, "That which I greatly feared has come upon me."
Mm-hmm.
And we can see that here's a godly man, and everything seemed to be going great,
mm-hmm.
but he still had fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord doesn't want us to live with fear.
No.
And so the Lord was bringing Job to the point of realization that, Job, you may not have an answer to everything that's going on, but I want you to know who is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Job 42 chapters to figure that out, you know. But finally, when he did, he said, "I've heard about God with the hearing of the ear, but I now see thee."
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he came to the point of totally trusting in the Lord. At that point, God said, "Okay, let's turn again the captivity of Job. Let's change everything around." And many times the Lord is trying to deal with fears in our own lives. And I know we're talking to some folks that may be retired this morning and may be sitting at home having their coffee and just listening to us. And they're saying, "What in the world is going on in our world? The economy is falling apart, the hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, disasters, fires. What in the world is going on? And my 401k has become a 101k, and that which I thought I could depend on to live out the rest of my life is now gone, and I'm thinking about working at Walmart as a greeter, and, you know, what in the world is happening?" Fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same battle that we all have, isn't it? And, of course, the remedy for fear is faith. And it gets back to what you said, Britt, the sovereignty of God.
Yes.
To just begin to understand God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that those are trials, as in James 1, 2, and 3, counting it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that that testing produces patience or perseverance.
Sure.
And I don't know how much joy we experienced during that time, but certainly a lot of trusting and a joy in that peace of the Lord.
In knowing the Lord so deeply and so closely.
Mm-hmm. And I saw certainly our family was taken to a new level in our faith,
mm-hmm.
a persevering as we got through that trial. And we saw, and actually there was things that I had forgotten all about this, about the, I don't even remember that the burns had an actual potential life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And these things that I guess, you know, maybe I do have a bad memory, but I could have been
Must
focused.
Be old age.
Could be. I'm
right,
getting there.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
To use grace. But really focusing on the Lord and His Word and being confident in that and knowing that His purpose is sealed.
And those verses that you just mentioned, Paul, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of testings.
Right.
That word count there is a banking term, and it's referring to account.
Hmm.
In other words, I think God is basically trying to say, you have a joy account, and you have a heartbreak account.
Hmm.
So when your testings come, which account are you going to put these testings into? Your joy account?
Yes.
Or your heartbreak account?
Mm-hmm.
You put it in your heartbreak account, and then when you need strength, it's non-sufficient funds in the joy account because you haven't deposited that testing into the joy account. And so he says, count it all joy when you go through these various kinds of testings. So again, it gets back to our perspective, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What account do I need to put it into? Is it a poor me account,
mm-hmm.
or God has designed this to bring me to joy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. It doesn't say if you fall into different kinds of testings. It says when.
Mm-hmm.
So it means it's going to happen, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So I think the challenge for us, as Britt and I were talking about, is to make sure that when times are good,
mm-hmm.
that we are still focused on the Lord and close to Him and not getting complacent. And starting to, and I, especially as of late, I can see myself focusing on myself too much and not really clinging to the Lord.
Mm.
And making sure that when the next trial comes, you know, we,
mm.
our faith is solid where we will cling on to Him.
Because when we are like that, then when we fall into diverse temptations, we will be able to count it all joy. And doesn't say when you get out of these times of testing. It says when you go into these times of testing. So that means that when we're going into the new testing, we already have to have the right mindset.
Mm-hmm. And that we're mindful of, even when we're not in a trial, that we're mindful of in Ephesians, where it talks about this battle in the heavenlies.
Oh, yeah.
That we're mindful of that. That battle doesn't just rage when we're going through a trial. You know, it's in our everyday that we are mindful of bringing God glory and resting in Him no matter, you know, even when everything's going well and smooth, and that we are just fully still dependent on Him and not looking to ourselves to stick to our daily tasks and get it done on our own strength, but that we need Him.
And I think afterward, having that joy during the trial, and then now I think we've really experienced a tremendous thankfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Now looking back, thanking the Lord for what He did during our family devotions at night, sharing the story every once in a while with Jack and helping him to see the thankfulness, reminding him of how he needs to be thankful for his Heavenly Father, of how He protected him.
In fact, I think you said he even wanted to come to the radio studio and show us his hands.
He did.
as a testimony of, okay, you're going to be talking about me. Mm-hmm. You know, I need to be there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. He wants to show what the Lord did for him to those who will hear it.
It's kind of like that little chorus, stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me, you know. And that should be our testimony all the time, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Stop and let me tell you, you know, what the Lord has done for me. He's done such gracious, wonderful things for us. And it needs to be on our lips at all times, because we never have a clue as to who is having a tough time. Years ago, I used to have a radio broadcast that was called Today. And I always finished the broadcast with one statement. Be kind to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time today. And how true that is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Be kind to everybody, because everybody's having a tough time today. And so if we have the joy of the Lord in our heart and His praise on our lips, then whoever God wants to intersect our lives with that day, God's able to trust us to be trusting in Him and sharing the good news with those folks, because they need it today. So if you're listening to us today, whoever intersects your life today, don't look at it as an interruption. Look at it as a divine intersection that God wants you to impact their life for Christ. So until the next time, we trust that God will be with you and bless you.